Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon, the Old Testament lesson, and the other lessons too. But we begin in the Old Testament lesson, Lamentations 3:29. Let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. That's amazing. I'm wondering if you agree with me at the beginning that this is an absolutely wonderful passage. It's fantastic. You know why? It's fantastic because we do religion wrong. All over the world, mankind does religion wrong. Because we figure, as a race, as a human race, we figure that, well, religion means things getting better. It means harmony with God. It means walking with God. It means rising above the worst parts of life. It means you deal with the things that go bad by floating above them. How do we know this? I know this partly through how people talk about death. What? Yeah. You know how many times I hear, I know I got to die, just hope I die in my sleep. Or it comes suddenly. Because I don't want to have to deal with it. I want to ignore it my whole life until then. Suddenly it happens. And I didn't know it was coming, and then it's done. And we do religion wrong. We do religion as, if we're right with God, we're up here. And we don't have all kinds of things falling apart in our lives. Religion means it goes well for us. You've been watching the TV preachers? Yeah. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to drive a Cadillac. God wants you to be rich and healthy all your life. And if you follow God, He will give you all those blessings. Just send us $100. That's a TV preacher scam. Meanwhile, back in a backwoods country and an obscure town in the Holy Land comes this guy who doesn't choose the high points, the best points, the times of joy and gladness and everything going right. He chooses the times when everything is going wrong. I wonder if you caught June 15th, the devotion in Portals of Prayer. It's a meditation on walking. How Jesus, well, he could have just hopped from place to place. He had the power, but he walked there. He walked, somebody figured, almost the entire circumference of the earth in his total walking. He walked with his disciples. He walked the dusty roads of Palestine. He walked, and in walking, he meets Zacchaeus. He walks and he hears the voice of blind Bartimaeus. He walks, and the woman in the gospel lesson crosses his path, and in his walking, he brings healing to others. And then how's he getting to Jairus' house? He's walking. Always walking among his people. Expand on the idea and think about God. God calling Abraham, and he goes with Abraham, and the place where Abraham gets the greatest blessing ever, Mount Moriah, where Abraham and Isaac, with God assisting them, act out what's going to happen on Calvary. That's where God's going to meet them. Walks with Moses back into Egypt and then to the shore of the Red Sea with Egyptians all around behind them and water in front of them, and God is there with them. And Jesus walks for me. He walks for me from Nazareth out into the wilderness, north and south, all through Palestine, and then he walks almost to Jerusalem, a short time riding a donkey to get into Jerusalem, and then walking again, walking to Gethsemane, walking with the soldiers arresting him, walking to Caiaphas's, then Pilate's, then to Calvary, being carried to the tomb, walking along the road to Emmaus to explain to the disciples why all of this had to be, walks with us. Digging into the Old Testament lesson. Things to point out. Verse 22, the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. And that word actually should be translated his covenant mercies. All of the mercies that he promised that would come to us in Jesus, the seed of the woman to crush the head of the devil, to set us free, to take away our sins, to be our sacrifice, to come for us. That's the mercies of God. And it's how God does religion. Stooping down to raise me up. For your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, says my soul, therefore I will hope in him. And this is the devotion of Jesus. His relationship with his Father was the first thing, the last thing, the most important thing, the everything. And out of that relationship with his Father comes his love for us. Out of that relationship with his Father comes the charge given to Jesus that he should lay down his life that he may take it up again. Out of that love for his Father goes comes the going to the cross, where at the cross he is forsaken by his Father, so that you and I might be brought back into fellowship with the Father. And then, verses 29 and 30, let him put his mouth in the dust, there may yet be hope. That is about Jesus. It is about Jesus on that night when he was arrested. He goes off to the garden to pray. And he goes apart from his disciples and falling to the ground, he prays, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as you will. He empties himself of any claim to have privilege, to be entitled not to suffer. He empties himself so that you and I might be filled with the blessings of God. And the next verse, let him give his cheek to the one who strikes. And you do see that. This is all about Jesus. After his arrest, facing the abuse. See, this is how God does religion, because if religion is only so that I may have good times, then it's not worth anything. If a Savior is only for the better times, then he's not a Savior. I need him. I need him on the days when everything is bad. I need him on the days when everything in life falls apart, because I know there will be more days like that. And if I only get Jesus for while the blessings are flowing and the life is good, and then at the end, that's not much of a Savior. But he is the one who promises that he comes for us in every time. He is there. He is there when others around might be having their good times and off enjoying themselves, and there we are, wondering what happened. And he chooses to be with you in those moments. This is very different. It's very different from any other religion in the world, where the people who follow that religion are told, you believe this, you do this, better things will happen. You devote yourself to serving your God, and maybe God will reward you. Christianity turns it all backwards because it doesn't work that other way. And for us, God says, I'm here to take the worst, here to take the most difficult, here to take the problems, here to take the sin, the judgment, the wrath, the forsakenness, the separation, the loneliness, the apartness. Jesus comes for that. He comes to the point of our lamentations. And he's there for us in those spots so that he can bring us finally, fully, completely into his joy. But see, in this life, there's always those difficulties, and always a mass of humanity, a countless multitude in this world who are going through terrible things. And Jesus continues on with his work to bring and to call out of every distress and into knowing him, knowing that he has carried all of the burdens. He continues on with his work. So it shouldn't be surprising to us that we have a Savior who doesn't invite us, oh, go off by yourself and celebrate because it's so wonderful and it feels good. We have a Savior who's busy heading off to still call the lost, to still call sinners, to still call people in their distress. And it's so sweet because I know that in every distress and in every need, he'll be there. So, like Paul does, in our times of need, in our times of difficulty and problems, Paul says, rejoice. What? Doesn't Paul have it backwards? Straighten out your life and get things going better, then rejoice. No. Rejoice because you've got a Savior who is there for you in every affliction, in every distress, in every need, for every prayer. He could have gotten diverted from Jairus. The crowd would have been also happy to celebrate with Jesus and to just forget about, rejoice in the good feeling of somebody being healed, neglect where he was headed at first. No, he belongs in a house where there has been a death. He belongs with the parents who are mourning their daughter. And because of who Jesus is, it may not come right away. We may have to wait and hold on in faith and expectation and wait for years and years and years. But finally, there will be that day when he finishes his work, calls all of his people to the overwhelming joy and life in his presence. So which kind of God do you want? God for the good times and the feeling good? Or God who will be with you in every single time? In Jesus' name, amen.